Acts chapter 12. We're going to be in Acts chapter 12, looking at verses 1 through 17. Verses 1 through 17. Now, usually I like to warn people ahead of time, is the further I get away from the pulpit and my notes, then the further I get away from what I have written down. So, and I'm usually a pacer and a walker, so you just have to like bear with me. We're going to be getting into prayer. You know, at the Manor Service, we've been studying prayer and the power of prayer the last 3 weeks. And this is actually the last of a series that we're going to be looking at today in Acts chapter 12. But when you start studying prayer and prayer in God's Word, you'll find out that there came a point in the disciples' lives where they looked at Jesus, they were watching Jesus pray. And they sort of said, Lord, teach us to pray. You know, we know of his teaching, we call it the Lord's Prayer. He gave them an outline on how to pray. And then we also find out that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, but on the Sermon on the Mount, he taught the congregation. He taught a large crowd how to pray. You know, if any of you have ever had that person in your life that you've watched them pray, and you'll go, man, that person's talking to God. You know, when you see them pray. I know in my life, I have a great-grandfather who I never met, but I heard stories about him. That my grandmother would tell of every day he would go down by the chicken coop and pray for his children. And all his children were in the ministry. You know, that's the power of prayer. You know, when we talk about the power that's in prayer and the power as you're praying when other people are watching you, you know, because the disciples saw Jesus praying and they wanted to know how they could do that same thing. And, you know, when we talk about the prayer model, it talks about praise. You know, we should be praising God for who he is. There's a confession. You know, confessing our sins to God, confessing our sins to one another. Then there's the thanksgiving, being thankful for what Lord has given us. That's the counter blessings. Then there's the supplication. This is asking for needs for ourselves and for others, because God wants to hear that. You know, as we look into this, and I like to start this out. First of all, faith will produce prayer. And by your prayers, it will increase your faith. It's that cycle. So praying is going to increase your faith, and faith is going to increase your prayers. You know, I like to start all my lessons on prayer out with a show of hands. Like, how many people in the room right now can say, you know, Brother Paul, I honestly pray too much. You know, I pray. In fact, sometimes I pray so much, I miss meals, you know, because I'm praying. Or I'll miss like events. I'll miss TV shows. You know, I'll miss being on the internet because I'm praying too much. I have to put my hand down. So now we've established that we all have a need. We all have a need in our lives. It's called prayer. Because we can always pray. And that's what our lesson is about today. We have a spiritual need of prayer. And this lesson's called The Surprising Power of Prayer. As we go into Acts chapter 12, you know, we're going to set this up. You know, to set up this passage, the Christians in the early church have been persecuted by the government. Now, you think about that because it's coming. You know, the church in the United States is going to be persecuted by the government. When you see the writing on the wall of what's going on, all of a sudden, the church does not agree with what the government endorses. There's not 157 gender types, you know, and who's the enemy? We're going to find out. Everyone needs an enemy. You know, we see that this is going to happen right now in this passage. We see the early church and the early Christian church and the Christians are being persecuted by the government. We see that Stephen is martyred for his faith. And you know, when Stephen was killed for his faith, there was kind of like a pause. And they found out that no one protested. No CLA signs were up. Christian Lives Matter. You know, no one protested. No one did a thing. And you know that empowered the government at that time? We see that Stephen was martyred. You know, and through this persecution, because the church started being persecuted, and because they were being persecuted in Jerusalem, a lot of people left. And what they did is they spread the gospel. So something bad turned into something good. God used it to spread the gospel into the known world. At the same time that this is going on, Barnabas and Saul are in Antioch, which is in Syria. And souls are being saved, and people are being added to the church. The church is growing. But in Jerusalem, there's a new king. This king's name's Herod. And this king was given this title by the emperor of Rome, who was a really good friend of his. We find out this king's name was Herod Agrippa. Now, when you look in the Bible, there's three times that there's a King Herod. There's three people that were named King Herod. If you ever followed anything about the monasteries in France and England and Germany, a lot of them adopted names. You know, they would pick a name to be called by. You know, even the Pope, you know, picks another name to be called by. And a lot of them would use the names of the past. So here's Herod Agrippa. You know, most of us know, like when we read the Bible, that there was Herod the Great, which was his grandfather. His uncle was Herod Antipas. But he took the name Herod Agrippa. And the only time that this Herod is mentioned in the Bible is Acts chapter 12. You'll find out that entire chapter is his life and his death when you read all the way through. But you'll see that Herod was an educated man. He was educated in Rome. He had homes in Rome. He had homes in Palestine. And we see that chapter 12 opens up and we see Herod harassing the Christian church. You know, there's a famine in Palestine. Now, in this famine in Palestine, because, you know, Herod needed a distraction. He needed an enemy to focus the people's attention off the famine that was going on. You know, the early church became that diversion, became that enemy. You know, in politics, they call that wagging the dog. You ever heard that term, wagging the dog, in politics? Basically, you know, you're diverting people's attention away from matters that really count. And you're trying to give them a distraction. You're trying to give them an enemy. Because our sin nature, our human nature, we all need an enemy. We need something to focus our anger on. And that was the church. You know, right now, we see, if you watch the news, and I'm a news junkie, I have to turn it off sometimes. Because right now, if you're unvaccinated, you are the enemy. I'm the enemy. You know, because we have to focus our attention on an enemy. You know, in magicians call this little thing, it's the sleight of hand. And I actually brought a coin with me today. I brought it big enough so you could see. So here's my coin. This is a 50-cent piece, by the way. I reach over and I grab that coin. And I have it in my hand. And there's nothing up my sleeve. And then the coin's gone. Because it never left the hand. That's called sleight of hand. But what I'm doing is I'm focusing your attention right here. This is what Herod is doing. He's focusing the attention away from his government. And he's focusing it on the church in particular. Here's what's happening as we read verses 1 through 3. It says, "Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of the unleavened bread." So here's what's happening. Peter, or King Herod, kills James, and it made the Jews happy. So he's going, hey, if it's making them happy, I'll make them happier. So he has Peter arrested with the intent of killing Peter. But the Jewish holiday interfered with him. All of a sudden, here's a Roman king that can't do anything because of the Jewish Passover. Do you think that was a coincidence? I don't think it was. I think God works things out. He's working behind the scenes. And we see this because this made Herod wait. As we read in verse number 4, we find out, and I got to pronounce this right. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison to... Oh, wait a second. I'm doing this without reading glasses. You'll have to bear with me. He put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, and intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. So here's what Herod did. You know, he's got 16 guards. If you do the math, and I actually did the math, it took me a long time to do this. This is four guards working 6-hour shifts 24/7 through the Passover. So he's being guarded by four guards at all times. And this doesn't include the guard posts that are inside the prison, as we're going to look here. And we see that all of a sudden, you know, four soldiers, 6-hour shifts, and we see that Peter is also shackled because Herod wanted to bring him forth before the people. Herod wanted a public spectacle. He wanted to wag the dog because everyone needs an enemy. We all need someone to blame. We all need someone to focus our anger on. As we go into verse number 5, it says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. You know, prayer was made without ceasing. I believe it's in Corinthians, or it might be Thessalonians. The Apostle Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. You know, that's one of the things, like Christians were in fear at the time. Stephen had been stoned to death. James was killed. Now Peter's in prison and he's looking at being killed at any time. The full weight of the Roman government is now against the church. And that drew Christians closer together. And you know, when it drew Christians closer together, they became more dependent on God. And we see that the only thing they had was prayer. You know, how many times have been in our lives the only thing we have is prayer? Sometimes God wants us to get to that point where the only thing that we have is prayer. And we should reach that point in our lives. They were praying. In verses 9 or 6 through 9, we find out this is the last hour. It's now the evening time. It's the evening hours. And the day actually start, when you look at the Jewish calendar, their days start at 6 o'clock in the evening, approximately, when the sun goes down. So it's about 6 o'clock in the evening. So it's going to be after the sun goes down, the day had already started. The next day has already started. And we see this is the last hour. It's the last night. Because when the sun comes out the next day, Peter's going to be brought before the people. This is what it says. And it says, when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Now, when you start looking at that and you start breaking down what's happening here, this is kind of an interesting story. Here's Peter. He's sleeping between two soldiers. He's in chains. An angel appears to him. Peter wakes up. And I don't know about you, when I wake up in the morning, and my wife can attest to this, I don't know where I am. I don't know what's going on. I do not know the English language in the morning. So when my wife looks at me and she's speaking, I don't hear anything. You know, and we see that Peter, all of a sudden, he's asleep. The angel, it had to smote him. I don't know how he smote him. I don't know if he gently shook him or not, or he slapped him upside the head. I have to be slapped to wake up. You know, I'm one of them guys, when I'm sleeping, I'm sleeping. That switch is off. And when I wake up, I don't know what's happening. Peter doesn't know what's happening. All of a sudden, an angel wakes him up. His chains fall off. Then the angel has to give him instructions. Get your coat. Get your sandals. We're leaving. And Peter, as you see in these verses, Peter's thinking to himself, it's like, this is a dream. This isn't real. I don't know what's happening here. You know, we look in this and we see that at this point, Peter is following the angel. Peter couldn't believe what was happening. Verse numbers 10 and 11. It says, when they were past the first and second ward, they came into an iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. So here's Peter. He's got a guard on each side of him. There's at least four guards. There's probably two guards posted at the door. So all of a sudden, when Peter wakes up, he's following the angel, and we don't know if the guards were asleep. These were Roman soldiers. I guarantee they probably were not asleep. But all of a sudden, Peter's looking, and the soldiers are just sitting there like nothing's happening. And Peter walks past them. He's following the angel. He walks past the two other guards. And then he walked past two guard posts. There was two guard posts that he walked past. If you've ever been in prisons, you'll know, you know, they have, you know, it's pretty secure. But then when they came to the outer gate just opens up for them and they walk through it. And then the angel leads Peter down the street. And then we see that all of a sudden the angel departs from him in verse number 10. And this is what verse number 11 says. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of the surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. All of a sudden, it says, when the angel departed, Peter realized this is real. I mean, it's real. I'm out in the street. You know, I'm not in prison anymore. Now we see in verses 12 through 14, do you think it was a coincidence that Peter was near the house of Mary? That it was a coincidence that, you know, they were all gathered in Mary's house and they're praying for Peter at that point. You know, remember, it's late at night. The Christians are on high alert. They're afraid. You know, they just seen two of their fellow believers had been killed. You know, Stephen and James. And we see that Peter's on the block and they're gathered together and they're praying for Peter. And verse number 12, it says, and when they had considered the thing, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Now, whenever you go to the Middle East, every house, every building has a wall. They have walls. They have walls around everything. It's like that protection barrier. So he's at the gate of the wall. Everything is closed off. There's a knock. So Peter knocks at the door. And we see the damsel comes out. This young girl comes out. I can't say damsel. I don't know how it's pronounced. So this young girl, I'm going to say young girl. This young girl comes out, recognizes Peter's voice, goes back. Now, how many of you have ever been praying in this sanctuary or somewhere else? And you know, maybe you're praying with Pastor. Pastor prays a long time. Maybe you're praying with John. John prays a long time. You know, I like to pray, I like to get it done, and then I'm gone. But sometimes when you're up here praying, and you may go over a little bit, all of a sudden the kids come running through. and they interrupt you. And no one likes to be interrupted when they're praying, do you? You know, it's like that's kind of our sin nature kicks in. We have a little anger because there's noise. You know, there's distractions and stuff that's being prayed. Here is this young girl. She's so excited, she bursts in the room where the people are praying and she interrupts them. Now, you put yourself in their place. All of a sudden, they're praying for Peter and they're being interrupted by a young girl that says, Peter's at the gate. He's at the door. And this is kind of, you know, it's kind of humorous in a way. Because, you know, here's a group of men praying. They're being interrupted. In verse number 15, this is what it says. And they said unto her, thou art mad. They basically said, you're crazy. Yeah, how many men have ever said that to a woman? Okay, I noticed you guys are wise, very wise. You know, but I'm going to give you a hint. Men, you're the only ones that could hear this. All women are crazy. They're just levels of craziness. Okay, so you find one with a lower level of crazy, you're good. But you know something? This girl was used for a purpose. And it was a reason that she was a girl. And I'll tell you the reason, because girls will not stop. They will not stop. If this was a young boy and he walked into the room, he probably wouldn't interrupt it. He would have probably knocked softly. Peter would have still been out there. This young girl comes in and they tell her she's crazy. But she consistently affirmed that it was even so. So here's a young girl that's not going to take no for an answer. Because God used that young girl. She goes in and she says, Peter's at the gate. She's excited. And they go, you're crazy. It's like, no, he's there. And I'm not going away. I'm going to be persistent. I'm going to be so annoying that you're going to listen to me. We find out they did. But here's what they said. Here was their way of thinking about this. And this is kind of interesting. It said, then they said, it is his angel. Did you ever study anything about angels and study anything about the early church or the Jewish religions? You'll find out a lot of Jews believed, you know, and it's scriptural that we all have a guardian angel. Some of us have more than one. You know, everyone that's a born-again believer has an angel, and they believe that that angel looked like you. So your guardian angel looks like you. I feel sorry for my guardian angel. What's confusing is my wife is an identical twin, so there's two angels out there that look like her. So it's an interesting thing. Like, you know, when you think about that, that's a whole other study. And I'm not going to go into that for sake of time. But we see what happens here, that they make an excuse and she's persistent. But while all this was going on, Peter was still knocking at the door. You know, I went on visitation. I don't know if you've ever been on visitation. Me and Grant Smith used to go on visitation together. And we were kind of banned from going on visitation for a while because I'd go on visitation with Pastor. And because of our backgrounds in law enforcement, we go up to the door and... You know, that's a police knock. You want to get someone's attention when you knock that way. But we go up to the door and boom, 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 boom. And Pastor goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm knocking. Because that's the way I knocked at doors. You know, I don't do the doorbells. You know, I irritate my mother-in-law because every time I go to their house, when I ring their doorbell, I ring it and ring it and ring it and ring it. And I will not stop ringing it until the door's open. Peter probably started out with a nice little knock. Now he's waiting. Now they're going through, the little girl's going into the room. They're telling her she's crazy. They're saying that's not Peter, that's his angels. He's persistent. There's kind of this back and forth going on. And I guarantee that Peter started knocking just a little bit louder and a little bit louder and a little bit louder till they, in whatever room that they're in this house of praying, there is someone at the door. Maybe we should go see who it is. In verse number 16 and 17, it says, But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. I love that word, astonished. When you look at the word astonished and amazed in God's word and you do a little verse, there's times in the Bible that God is amazed, that Jesus is amazed, that people are astonished. They were surprised. You know, as we see this, they've been praying for Peter. Ever since his arrest, there was prayer without ceasing. You know, now, they probably weren't praying that the Lord would send an angel to him, his chains would fall off, and he would lead him out of all these guard posts and put him in the street and deliver them right to them. They probably weren't praying that way. You know, when you put yourself in their position, how would you pray for Peter? How would you pray for a guy that's going to be killed the next morning? You know, I know in my mind, I would be praying, Lord, change King Herod's heart. That would be the way I would pray. Sometimes God answers our prayers in ways that we can't even fathom. You know, have you ever given God a laundry list of how he should answer prayer? I have. It's like, Lord, this is a perfect opportunity to do this right now. This is what you should do. I'm giving God advice. Here's a guy that spoke the world into existence, and this guy from West Virginia is trying to give him and tell him how to do his job. Okay, it doesn't work. God doesn't listen to me. God hears my prayers, but he has ways that are way beyond. You know, many of us have had our prayers answered in ways that we couldn't even fathom. This is the surprising power of prayer. You know, that sometimes God is working and we don't understand at the time, and we might not understand it right then and there, or an hour from now, or a day from now, or a week from now, but we may understand a year or two, and sometimes we won't even understand till we get to heaven. And all of a sudden, it'll be explained to us like, Lord, I never knew that that was happening. I never knew that all this stuff was going on in the background. But prayer works. There's power in prayer. You know, we see that they're praying for Peter. They were astonished that their prayers were answered. I figure Peter was praying too. Put yourself in Peter's spot. Peter's shackled between two Roman soldiers. There's two more posted. He's in a prison. He's in a Roman prison. He's going to be brought before, you know, King Herod the next day, where he knows he's going to be killed because it's going to make the people happy. How would you pray if you were Peter? You know, would you pray that the Lord would send an angel and your chains would fall off and he would lead you out of the prison and send you over to a house where people are praying for? Probably not. Because sometimes we can't fathom how God works. But we know God's working. I'm going to use a football analogy now. You know, Peter couldn't really even believe himself. He had to come to himself to understand what the Lord just did, because it was so miraculous. You know, if you ever watch the Pittsburgh Steelers under Chuck Knoll when he was the coach, if you ever watch any, some of you guys are too young for that, but you know, back in the 80s and the 90s, the 70s, 80s, and clear almost into the 90s, we see the Steelers dominated the National Football League. But they had a coach that said, you know, when you're in the end zone, act like you belong there. Have you ever seen the people celebrate when they score a touchdown and they have all these dances and all this other stuff? If you ever watch the films of the Pittsburgh Steelers, whenever they would score a touchdown, they would hand the ball to the referee and they would go back into the huddle. He said, act like you belong in the end zone. You know something? When we pray, we should act like the Lord is going to answer our prayers. Even if we don't even understand how he's doing it, we should not be astonished. We should be praising the Lord. You know, because we belong in that end zone. Each one of us belongs in that end zone. It shouldn't be a surprise. The Bible tells us to pray and expect results. James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, that's a great verse. When you start studying that in all its context, you'll find out that prayer, that when we pray, prayer will heal the sick. Forgiveness of sins takes care of others. You'll find out there's a big long list that goes into this. In Matthew chapter 21, 22, Jesus is speaking, and all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. John 16, 24, Jesus is speaking again. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. The Lord gives us directions and guidance and promises regarding our prayer. We shouldn't be surprised when the Lord answers our prayers, even in a way we couldn't even fathom in our own minds, even in a way that surprises us. This is what we should do. We should just smile and praise the Lord. I am finished. I thank you all for listening. I thank you for your attention. Most people just give me attention out of curiosity because they don't know what I'm going to say next. And believe you me, I don't know what I'm going to say next. But I thank you all for being here. I don't know if we should sing or if we should just jump up and down. I can't run on the tops of the pews anymore. I got chastised for doing that in Bible school. So we're not going to run on tops of the pews. I can guarantee that. There's certain things that I can't do in church. But we could praise the Lord. Just remember the power of prayer. Because I think there's going to be coming a point in this country that that's all we have. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Lord God Almighty, we just praise you.